Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast urging you to let it go and don't look back. With nationally acclaimed professional organizer Christine Stone and self-proclaimed hot damn mess radio and TV personality Eden Kendall.
Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered. We're the podcast for women over 50, but a lot of women that started with us when they were over 50 are now 60 and up.
Yep.
And that means, and
that includes me.
That includes you, and it very soon will include me as well.
Yes.
But that means we're thinking about things, for example, like what it's like to be a grandma, what it's like to have aging parents. These are all things that start coming your way. So we're going to cover a couple of those. But one thing, I wanted to start on a really upbeat thing, and that is on our ladies only Uncluttered and Unfiltered private group, which you are absolutely welcome to join. Somebody else posted, and I love this, Gretchen posted, what cute names are first-time grandmothers landing on for themselves? First of all, let me just say, Gretchen, we love that you started this threat. I mean, you hit the nail on the head because 52 of you guys had a comment to make.
Oh, I have to hear some of these names.
So first of all, though, what is your grandma name, Christine?
I'm a Cece.
Cece, and that makes great sense.
And by the way, just so you know, Cece is easy to say because they've said it very early. So you always have to remember what is early that they will be able to say.
Ah, I love it.
It's a trick.
Very cute. Okay, so Michelle says she's really happy with grandma. That's fine.
I like grandma too.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I actually kind of jokingly, because we watched the show Young Sheldon, and there's a character, Meemaw, and I'm always like, I want to be Meemaw. My husband's like, you're never going to be Meemaw. I would be fine being Meemaw. I think that's adorable. Helene said, my grandma name is Honey, and I actually have another
friend.
Friend whose grandma name is Honey, or her mom was Honey. So Mary says hers, call her Grammy. Lisa says Lolly and Pop, so that they're Lollipop.
Oh, my God. I love that. Yep. I love that.
And Jackie says Guru.
Oh, my gosh. Guru. That's different.
That is different. Marion is Nana. Mimi, Lala, Neen, which is short for Janine. But that's
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Nanas. There's a Nona. We have a Nona. That's Trisha. Here's a GG. That's like Cece.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are GGs.
Oma and Nene.
Nene. That's cute. Nene.
Allison is Grandma Allie, so they call her Gally.
Oh, I like that, Gally.
Kiki is a great one. These are all so adorable. I love this. So very creative. Let's see. Jerry says Gima, G for grand, and Ima for mom in Hebrew.
So, oh, love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
So anyway, if you want to chime in with yours, that is over on our Ladies Only Uncluttered and Unfiltered page. Now, we have all the regular social media, in case you're wondering. This one is the only one where you have to actually be granted admission. And the reason we do that is so that you can post on there and know that the only other people that are reading it are other women that are over 50.
Right. Yeah.
So now the other thing I saw recently in regards to grandmas, as long as we're staying really upbeat right now, is grandma dinner is trending. And you do grandma dinner already because you eat so early.
I eat so early that it's embarrassing almost. The good news is because I have two grandkids, my daughter loves it now because, you know, you have to eat early and do the bath thing for the kids. So when I go to visit, we all eat at like 4:30 or 5. So it's great because she's then got to go home and bathe. So I I started doing that though, not just because I'm old, but because I feel like my digestion is way better when I don't eat after 6. So I can eat at 5:30, but I just don't like to eat after 6. And I think it's really helped. I think that you're not laying flat or laying in bed right after you eat. It's giving your body time to digest your food. So you can make fun of me all you want, but I'll have a better digestion.
You're going to keep doing your grandma dinner.
Yeah. My grandma dinner.
And a lot of people who do intermittent fasting are also doing that. You know, they want to eat earlier so that they can not eat for many, many hours. But
Well, Also, we talked about this before. All the 5 o'clock dinner reservations are 5:30. You can't get anymore.
Yeah, even it used to be that was, yeah. Yeah.
Even young people are all wanting to eat early, you know, socialize a little bit and then go home and watch Netflix. So it's a hot dinner reservation, like 5, 5:30, and 6. It's not easy to get anymore. So
it was such a snowball effect to get to that. But somehow this generation is happy to admit that they would rather be a homebody. I mean, it's so funny to me. It's so funny. Okay. So the other reason we are in that mindset right now of aging is because you've had a week of caring for an aging parent, and we're blessed to still have them. You know, we know that. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't trade it.
No.
But it can take its toll on everyone involved. And I know
it's
your pleasure to do so. But let's talk about, if our parents are aging, what are some things that we should be doing, whether that's from an organizational point of view or what have you?
Well, I'm just speaking from experience because my mom's 87, and I feel like when there isn't something going on medically, you kind of like don't think about these things because you just live your normal life. But then all of a sudden something happens and it forces you to think about these things. Why I don't think people want to think about it is because it's depressing, if you want to know the truth. I think that taking care of aging parents makes you look at your future, which you don't want to really do. And everyone thinks, well, it won't happen to me, but it happens to everybody because it just, unfortunately, it does. And so I think being prepared ahead of time is much easier than being slammed into it when there's an emergency situation or a situation that needs to be dealt with immediately. So what I have learned is creating a notebook or a file box with all the important papers, and the file box has to have a handle so you can take it with you from place to place. It's not something that should be stationary. And what I've learned is you need to be very diligent note taker and have all the documents that you're going to be asked for that you need in order to get through any kind of medical situation or emergency situation. And so that's what I've learned in this past week, how important that is. And I also feel like it's so important to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself as well and you get sick, then everybody's in trouble. So it's important to take time off, even if it's an hour, to whatever. I mean, whatever will relax you or calm you down, and be kind of non-negotiable about things that you absolutely need, whether it's I just need to sleep in my own bed or whatever it may be, trying to figure out what will help you recoup enough so that you're there when you're needed. And so also really, you and I have talked about this, long-term care. I don't think anyone wants to talk about it. I don't think anyone wants to get it because it's extremely, extremely, extremely expensive.
And it's the least fun money you'll spend.
It's the least fun money you will spend now, but it's the money you will be so happy you spent when you're in your late 80s and 90s, and people are living so long. And what I've learned, and I'm not saying every medical person, I'm sure there's wonderful medical doctors, and I have met a few, but when you hit a certain age, they're not really concerned about taking you seriously, about listening to you, about, you know, like, and they have a look of you've lived your life, you know? So that's disheartening because you kind of see what your future is going to be like. You're kind of written off as, oh, you're 85, you'll be fine. There's nothing we can do for you. That medication, or just go home and take a bunch of medication, and they don't watch what kind of medications. And there's so many different doctors going on, and none of them communicate with each other. And if you don't have somebody who's going to be that person to do all of this paperwork, all of this legal work, all of these medications, it's so depressing. So
is the experience you're having right now, I hate to interrupt, but is the experience you're having right now, is it concern for, in your case, your mom is 87. Are you thinking also as you're doing this that you don't want your own daughters to have to experience this? And then also you're thinking about yourself because you don't want to have to be struggling to be cared for.
I think it's all three. The first thing you think about, because we all get older, is you think about yourself, especially if you're in the hospital and you have a lot of time to think. That's the worst part, because you're just sitting there going, okay, it's just me and you're the parent you're taking care of. What if I wasn't here or something? Then you're all alone in a hospital bed. And it immediately goes back to you. Like, what if I was all alone in a hospital bed? Mm-hmm. Number two, and this is just my opinion, you don't want your own kids to disrupt their lives, their kids, their everything, to take care of me and my... And some people say, well, it's their duty. I just don't believe that. I believe you're given one life on this earth. And if you spend 20 years of it taking care of an elderly parent, or 10 years taking care of it, you're really, really, not only the stress it'll take off your life because it's so stressful, but you're really kind of shortening your horizons and what's going on in your life. And a lot of times you've already raised your own kids, so you've looked forward to this point in your life to be able to travel or to be able to do whatever you want to do, take up pottery or, you know, whatever it is. And you're not able to do any of that because you're taking care of an aging parent. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think it's all of it, because you really, and also, you think your kids will want to do that, but you're talking like 20 or 30 years from now, and you don't know what will be happening. What if, I mean, God forbid, one of them's not, you know, you don't know what life holds. Mm-hmm. So yes, I personally do recommend long-term care, but I understand it's so ridiculously, and I say ridiculously, expensive. So, because that will give you peace of mind for yourself. It will mm-hmm. give you peace of mind that, God forbid, something happens to my husband and I'm alone, whatever, that you will be able to make sure you're taken care of. And it's a shame, and I'm going to say this, that it's not more readily available, because we are an aging society, and it will only help people rather than just try to make money in an industry. It's the only way people can have peace of mind as they get older. We're all going to have issues health-wise. And so it's something that's important, because the amount of doctor's appointments and medications, and it gets tough as you are in your late 80s.
Tell the thing you said to me about... you said, well, like, if you want to get in a place that costs less than this, you may as well just check in and say goodbye, because that's, you're not going to survive it.
Yes. I did a lot of research on, because my mother did not have long-term care. My mother-in-law has long-term care, but my mother did not. And so I was doing a lot of research, and it just breaks your heart that the places, at least here where I was looking, $4,000 and under for a month, by the way. This is a month, and that's not for any extras, like someone who has to disperse medication or whatever, was not really that nice at all. Mm-hmm. And so you know that if you're going to have to go that route, if you can even afford that, because that's a lot of money a month.
For somebody who's on fixed income, yes.
Yeah. And for yourself, like, I mean, you know, you save for your own retirement, you save for yourself. So if you're having to put your own money into something that expensive, you're looking at your future as well. Mm-hmm. So it made me very, very disheartened to see that if you're not spending $6,000 to $8,000 and more a month, you're going to be in some sort of place that you're going to feel guilty putting him in there, first of all, and they probably won't live long. You know, you're kind of saying goodbye because it just, that's the way it happens. So it's been a very big awakening for me.
June is Men's Health Month, and it's time to talk about what really matters. Mental health isn't weakness, it's strength. But too many men are told to tough it out, push it down, and stay silent. That ends now. 1 in 4 adults, including men, experience a mental health condition. And Hearts for Minds is here to break the stigma. Whether it's you, your brother, your dad, or your friend, mental health deserves attention. Visit heartsforminds.org to access resources, connect with care, and start the conversation that could change everything. You don't have to do this alone. Visit heartsforminds.org.
And I just think that it helps to have somebody who's going through the same thing, because tons of my friends are going through this because they're all in their 60s. So, and some of them have it so much worse because their parents have Alzheimer's, which is so bad. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different medical problems that you would be dealing with in a different way. So I think it's important to be able to talk to someone who's going through it, or a therapist, if you have a therapist, because it can be a very lonely experience. Very, because your husband, I mean, it's not his mother, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they are concerned for sure,
of course,
but it's not the emotional attachment.
And it's typically the sibling that is closest that's going to bear the brunt of it, which in your case
is me.
Is you.
Is me.
And in our case, and I'm going to knock wood right now and say that we haven't had to experience very much, but my sister is closer, but I don't like the idea of her having to bear all the responsibility either. So, you know, there's a lot to think about. Like I one day, first of all, that's something that can wake you up in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, for sure. That.
But you know, one day you're going along, everybody's fine, and the next thing you know, it's like having a child again.
Well, and also, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because people don't talk about it, and then it happens, and it's like they're like deer's in the headlight. They are like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Where are all the important papers? What medication is she taking? Who are her doctors? Like, all of a sudden, you don't know anything. And so having this done ahead of time, that will take one thing off your plate. Just one. It won't take everything off, but it'll take one thing off your plate, because you'll feel in control of something. Because when this happens, you're out of, you have no control. You are in the doctor's hands. You have no control over the situation.
Okay. So you've been very helpful in putting together what you think would be a very complete
yes
file box. Now, do you feel, and we've been talking for, I'm going to tell you, 17 minutes, do you feel like we maybe need to break this up into pieces, give everyone a starting point, and then we can come back a week later and tell the rest, or how do you feel about this?
Well, I can gloss over it quickly.
Okay.
And you can get the gist of it. So we could just see, but I think I can gloss over it pretty quickly.
Okay.
It's just such important information that you don't want to gloss over it too quickly. But I mean, I just think it's important, whether it's a file box or a notebook. Like for me, I'm doing a notebook because I think everyone's situation is different.
Sure.
Some elderly parents have a lot more than some other people's parents have. So you really have to decide what you need, because if you only need a notebook and you could just carry a notebook around, that's fine too. So it's basically putting it, you know, I'm a category kind of gal. So it's putting it in categories, labeling dividers, having like clear sheets that you can drop the documents in the clear sheets so that everything is super neat and organized. And if you don't have some of these things, now is the time to either do it online through a legal app or legal website, or hire an attorney to do these legal documents so that you're not even having to worry about this down the road. But the first thing is, and I learned all of this because of my mom, her driver's license. I never had my mother's driver's license. Her social security card, birth certificate, any military documents. My mom's not in the military, but if you had, that would be very important if you had military documents. So any kind of identifying things would be the first section. Next would be medical and health, of course, insurance cards, what medications they're taking, an advance directive, which is a legal document, a do not resuscitate order, legal document, their medical history. So important, because my mom, thank goodness, kept one in her computer and would update it regularly because she was allergic to medications. So she had it in her purse, and I was able to grab that out and tell them what she was taking. So it's so important to even do something like that in your notes app, just what they're taking, what they're allergic to, and a doctor contact list. I don't know about your mom. My mom has so many different doctors. She has the cardiologist. She has, you know, the knee doctor. She has the eye doctor. You know what I mean? So it's so important to know who's who, because when they ask you, well, who's her cardiologist? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So knowing who they are. Also, where is their will, their power of attorney, the healthcare proxy? Thank goodness my mom had one, so that wasn't an issue. Any kind of trust documents, because like I said, if you wait till after, this amount of stress that will be piled on you is just ridiculous. Financial, bank accounts, credit cards, any retirement accounts. A lot of people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s have been retired, so you don't know what they have in their retirement. Their pension, what are their monthly bills? What are they paying for? So that's so important, because if you're going to end up having to step in and pay, don't you need to know what you're paying for.
Right, exactly. If they're in the hospital for several weeks, you don't want their power being turned off.
Right, exactly. Anything to do if they own a home, their deed to their property, how much mortgage they're paying, anything to do with their vehicles, the titles to their cars, any insurance policies, whether it's any kind of policy, life insurance, they may have two or three different ones, any valuables that they have listed out so that you're not like searching around trying to find what you need when you need it. Then, of course, we need to talk about digital access, because we are in a digital world. And I had this happen to a friend of mine when her husband died abruptly without notice, and she could not get into any of his banking, anything, because she didn't have his passwords. And I always think when I'm at a client's house and I learn, like I always take one thing away from something that like I feel like God put me there to learn this lesson. And I always, that was like 10 years ago, and I always remembered that, always, because you don't want to be in a tragic situation and you can't get anything because you don't have any of their passwords. And the banks are not sweet about it. They don't care that you don't have their password. So it has to go through probate and all that kind of stuff. So it's so important to
And it may not even be a probate situation. It could be that they are in the hospital.
Right.
And you need to access their money.
Yep, exactly.
So it's not a matter of they've passed and you want to be able to get their money. You might need to use their money and unlock it, because it could be in an investment.
Right. And then you need the banking passwords. So everything is password controlled. Any kind of their phone, their cell phone, you can't get into it unless you have their password. And we all know, unless it's a murder, Apple will not, I had to throw that in there. Apple will not, and it even take, even if it's a murder, it takes like 6 to 8 weeks to get that unlocked. So according to Dateline. So that's so important as well. And then this is something my own mother never wants to talk about, but it's so important, which is funeral burial arrangements. for some reason, a lot of elderly people do not like to talk about this, but then it puts the stress on you on what to do. So you're making all these decisions and you're like, I don't know, is that right? So really having that in writing on what their wishes are would go in this notebook or in that file box. So in my opinion, that should cover you. You could add anything else to it that would fit into what's going on in your life, in your elderly parents. But I think this is a great starting place. And like I said, you can use any notebook. It's super simple to do. And just make sure you have dividers and you label the dividers.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I will transcribe everything you just said. Well, not me.
Right.
ChatGPT, or no, I'm sorry, Claude. Because
I know.
I'm told that only old people use ChatGPT. The young people use Claude. So, but we will use AI. We will transcribe that and put it into some bullet points and share that with you on our Ladies Only Facebook group.
Yes.
Because I know that all went by really fast. I mean, please, you're welcome to listen to it over and over again and make notes. Let us do that for you. We're happy to.
And also, since we do have an Ladies Over 50 group on Facebook, I think it's so important to talk to other people that are going through that. I mean, I feel like they should be having support groups for that. If you are the one dealing with your aging parents alone, that I feel that there should be some kind of support so that you're not feeling so alone.
My own sister is a nurse.
Oh.
Right now, she's in a situation where she had some surgery. And so my mom is doing the caregiving. So, I mean, you just really never know. Everyone's situation is different. However, we did ask this question on our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only page. We said, many of us are blessed to still have our parents with us. Aging parents are a reality that many of us face, and it can bring a lot of change, worry, and responsibility. So what are some of your challenges? And we have many, many responses from you ladies, and many of you ladies responding to other ladies.
Good.
About that very thing. So yes, by all means, make connections. That's why we have that group. We have all the other social media you can think of, but the one thing you have to be invited into, and we a couple times a week go in there and let everyone in, as long as we feel like they are a woman over 50, and if they breach any kind of trust, they get kicked right out. We find that they're trying to sell you anything or take advantage of the situation. So it's a safe space. That's what our hope is.
Yeah. And also, I'm not an insurance agent. I'm just a daughter. So if anyone has in our Facebook only ladies over 50, I mean, if you find something where long-term care is reasonable,
yes,
or you find some secret trick, how you get around something, whatever it is, I mean, post it on there because people, I mean, like I said, I'm not an insurance agent, so I don't know anything about that. So,
exactly. So, you know, we're not experts in
much
of anything. Christine can expertly get you organized. I feel like that was a really good organizational tip that you just gave. I mean, and then some, and then some. But, you know, anything you hear on our show, you take with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And you do further research.
Yes.
And if you act on it and it causes you any sense of relief, please share that as well with our group. And as always, we ask for you to share our podcast with just one friend. If everyone does that, then our numbers would double if everybody watched. And you know, if our numbers double, Christine is going to, we're going to throw a party and Christine is going to get up on a table and give us her disco
moves. I'm still going to do it. I'm telling you.
She's going to do it. She's
I'm going
for
into full John Travolta Saturday Night Fever mode.
Yes, ma'am. That is it. Okay. So on that note, I mean, it's hard to sleep at night knowing what's around the corner, but having each other is the best we can offer, right? So, you know, when it comes to losing sleep over the future, you can let it go.
And don't look back.